Welcome to The Dental Brief, the world's direct, right-to-the-point podcast produced to get you the information you need to learn and grow your practice. To learn more about our guests and find links to information discussed on our show, visit our website, dentalbrief.com. On to today's episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Dental Brief. I'm so excited for today and for our guest who we have on with us, who I'm going to introduce in just a moment. Like every other episode, we keep this real short to the point, get you the information that you need that you can put to use today and make it a successful day. So without further ado, I want to introduce our guest, Sharon Weiss. Say hello, Sharon.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
It's fantastic to have you there. I'm here in sunny Colorado. You're in sunny California. Let's bring some sunshine to our listeners. Tell me, how did you get involved in dentistry? Kind of tell me what made you choose this career path.
Sure. So I did not actually grow up thinking, gosh, I hope I could be a dental consultant someday. But I had an interest in organizational development, in training, in management. And I answered an ad, actually, from Pride Institute, which was located near me, and they didn't require a dental background. So I got in and learned dentistry, but brought my sort of business background with me.
And so you are now a consultant. You work with practices all over the country, correct?
Correct. That's right.
Yeah. So how did you end up venturing out onto your own? What made you decide to take that leap?
Yeah. So I worked at Pride Institute for 17 years as the curriculum developer and a senior consultant. So that meant I was designing all of our books and training and publications. And it was totally, totally fun, as well as working one-on-one with clients. But eventually, Pride was sold to Spear, and I also wanted to try to do something on my own. So that's what happened about 3 years ago, and so I formed my own company, Weiss Practice Enhancement, bringing the best of what I learned and did, and then following my own passions.
So tremendous amount of experience. Clearly, this isn't your first rodeo, is it? So tell me your travels and the calls that you get and what practices that you work with or talking about. What are some of the new problems? What are some problems that they're facing that someone such as yourself can help with?
Right. So it is not going to be a surprise to anyone that the major problem is about attracting new employees, and then of course also retaining the employees that you have. And one of my interests and passions has always been the study of motivation, about what really motivates both patients and team members, and also this topic of compensation, because there are a lot of myths about both motivation and compensation that unfortunately I find dentists buy into, and that have seemed to have a backfire in their practice.
So what are some of these myths? What are some of these myths that you're talking about?
Right. So I know that employees right now are looking for the possible highest compensation they could get. And hey, God bless them, right? They should be well paid. They should feel recognized and rewarded for the hard job they have. So I get it, and I approve. But at the same time, the compensation you pay to employees has to be affordable and viable for the practice. And this is where some issues come up, because what I see a lot of other consultants recommend is that instead of offering a simple salary increase, they advise dentists to institute a bonus plan or an incentive program. And this has some drawbacks, which I don't think too many dentists have really thought about.
So what are some of these drawbacks? What are some of the issues that you see with offering an incentive program?
Right. So the main premise of offering a bonus plan is one, that employees will find it motivational. In other words, they will now change their behavior to rise up in order to get the bonus. So that is one belief, which is actually pretty much a fallacy. And the second problem I see, which is even bigger, is the idea of whether this is actually ethical in a dental practice. Is it ethical to incentivize your employees to sell more dentistry to patients? And yeah, I don't think it is.
Yeah, I don't think it is either. Myself, and it's not my position. But I do want to ask, and I agree with you too, and I've heard this, where, you know, the team is incentivized, that the owner, the manager wants to see this bonus happen, right? Because if the bonuses aren't reached, then they're not real.
Right.
So they bust their butt, you know, go crazy to make sure that this bonus is hit. But like you said, the behavior of the team didn't change.
Right.
Now you have an owner, a dentist, a manager, leader, whatever, who's very frustrated and resentful because they busted their butt to make sure it happened. It did happen. Their team did nothing different. They got money. So I get it. So I understand that. Do you think there's ever a time that it's right to incentivize a team?
So it depends on what the incentivize is for, right? So maybe it's a personal goal. You will learn something new, and therefore, great, you want to recognize and reward the employee for that. I understand that, you know. So maybe if there is a team goal about we are going to learn and implement a new concept, great. But it has to be for a definable period. The structure has to be really clear to everybody. Everybody knows this is the barometer of when we will reach the quote unquote bonus. Great. That I can see happening. But unfortunately, what is usually done is that there is a bonus on increased production or collection. And so that in itself is kind of amorphous because, all right, well, what is a hygiene assistant or a dental assistant specifically supposed to do to improve collections, for example?
Sure.
It's unclear, right?
Right, right. So it would definitely have to be clear, but I see the problems there and the issues with ethics as well. I will tell you, being in the marketing side of dentistry, I love to see a practice that does incentivize for new patients booked appointments, because in my opinion, more patients in a practice, if you want an extra 100 patients a month in your practice, your team isn't going to make another penny from those patients. Mm-hmm. Why do they want to bring them in, right? Yeah. And we're going to get more into this in motivation, I'm sure, in a little bit. But I think the phone always has to be answered. And when a team member gets paid a bonus for answering the phone and booking that appointment, when that appointment shows through, the way they answer the phone is different. That smile is there. They're excited. They're happy. And so that first impression goes way up. I see problems with that too, right? So there's always people will always take advantage, right? So that's something to be considered. So tell me if what are some ways that you can motivate, or how do you find out how people are motivated, I think is probably more important. What are some ways you can go about doing
right.
that?
So it is interesting because all the motivational research from the last 60 years really doesn't show that physical rewards, material rewards, improve motivation. And in fact, the opposite is true. The more you pay people for performance, ironically, the worse their performance. And while I know this doesn't seem to make sense, years and years of study has actually shown this. Because, and maybe this won't come as a huge surprise, intrinsic motivation is a lot more powerful than extrinsic motivation. So when we give people physical rewards for a behavior, that is total extrinsic motivation. And unfortunately trains the employee to think, well, I don't have to do this or really be into doing this unless the dentist pays me more to do it, right?
Sure.
So the trick really is to inspire intrinsic motivation, which is the joy of doing it because I like doing it and I like seeing the results that it brings. That is where the work really needs to be done. Intrinsic motivation is the key.
Now, I consider myself to be a very motivated person in general, right? I go, 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 go. It's just how I am. But if you put me in a dental practice, most positions in a practice, if I was an assistant, if I took care of billing, I wouldn't be very motivated to do that. Like there wouldn't be a result there that would be fulfilling to me. Mm-hmm. So what do you do in that case? Does it come down to who you hire? I mean, is it just the fact that, hey, there are people in these positions that are never going to get any type of joy or satisfaction from the type of outcome that the practice wants to see? Mm-hmm. What do you do about that? Does it just mean move on from that person?
I don't know that necessarily motivation shows up the same way for an employee as an entrepreneur, right? So you, Patrick, are an entrepreneur, and what motivates you is the growing of your business and learning and making something out of nothing, basically, right? And that may be many of our dentists, too. The employees, of course, don't necessarily have that motivation built in. Otherwise, they would have been entrepreneurs themselves.
Right.
So what we look for is what does motivate someone who does billing or dental assisting all day. And what the research suggests is, one, they have to make a larger meaning of their role, right? That I'm not just sucking spit. I am a healthcare practitioner. Really curing or healing people. That might be a way to make meaning of my job. The other is they get acknowledged and rewarded by their manager for their contribution. That is also a huge, huge factor in motivation. And finally, an employee wants some ownership of how they do their job. So they're able to make some decisions and have some agency in their positions.
Sure. That makes sense. So what I'm hearing, and maybe I'm a little bit wrong here, but it does sound like you need to get to know your employees, right? To kind of figure out what is going to motivate each individual, because nobody's the same.
Exactly. Right? It's kind of like being an anthropologist or a sociologist looking at your employees, right? I mean, I talked to too many of my clients who are now so jaded about hiring employees. When I ask them what their latest employee's name is, they have to pause and think about it, right? Now, there's something drastically wrong when we look at employees as interchangeable and therefore disposable.
Yeah, that's some great information. Sharon, is there anything else that you want to add today?
So, developing a full comprehensive compensation plan can be done. It's something I enjoy doing with dentists. And I would encourage most dentists to look bigger and broader about how they recognize and acknowledge their employees, both physical, material ways and the relationship ways.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I want to encourage our audience to check out your website. It's weisspractice.com, and that's spelled W-E-I-S-S practice.com. Sharon, it's wonderful to have you here. I want to have you come back. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode. Did you know you can weigh in on today's topic on Facebook? Search The Dental Brief on Facebook or visit our website, dentalbrief.com, and just follow the link. We look forward to having you join us again on another episode of The Dental Brief.